Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode brought to you by Crazy Tom's Beard Oil. With so many trendy hipsters with beards, it's getting harder and harder for a hobo like yourself to show people that you're not to be fucked with. Well, with Crazy Tom's Beard Oil, you can keep your beard as disheveled as a 17th century sailor's taint. When people see your beard with Crazy Tom's Beard Oil, they'll cross to the other side of the street before they can even hear you talk about the voices. That's Crazy Tom's Beard Oil, available wherever Two Buck Chuck is sold. Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and Professor David Day, the foremost expert on Scare No No's. New theatrical releases get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. I'm Bryce Hansen.
And I'm David Day.
Hey.
Sorry.
I'm David
Day. Who are you again? Okay, David Day.
David Day. Not to be mistaken for... Little Play or Big Say or okay. David Gay.
Professor David Day. Adjunct professor,
yeah.
David Day.
I have
because you work professionally outside of the university in Scare No No's.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to showcase a little bit of my super sexy voice.
All right. This is uncomfortable.
Oh.
So, thank you for listening in to Horror Movie Talk. If you're a first-time listener, just want to tell you a couple things to get you integrated into the cult of Horror Movie Talk. Go to our website at horrormovietalk.com. There's three words in there that are very easy to remember because you like horror movies and we're talking about it. And there you'll find links to all our social media. We're on pretty much everything. I mean, we're even on TikTok, and we have no business being on TikTok.
No. I mean, well, as voyeurs.
I mean.
God damn, look at those hot children.
I would really prefer.
What that social media is mainly for is for theater kids that are underage marching in place.
That's accurate.
A very attractive underage theater kids marching in place. That's like 90% of TikTok.
Right. But I mean, you're like some kind of like golden god if you're like older than 20 and also very attractive.
Yeah. It's like a meme to be even in your 30s. If you're in your 30s on TikTok, they'll call you a boomer.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
just. Anyway, so check that out off the rails. God damn those hot children. We post every Wednesday in the morning. So subscribe to the podcast if you like what you hear. And also, whether you like it or not, please leave us a rating on iTunes if you use an iPhone. And if you have any friends or relatives or a stranger on the street that has left their phone unattended, open up their Apple Podcasts and leave us a star rating, because you don't even have to write a review. Just a star rating is what we want.
Bryce, I've been thinking about it. We really need to start appealing to listeners who run a back alley phone resale racket.
Yes.
like a pickpocketing racket. So like, you know, like around the Eiffel Tower, there's just people who are just going to swipe your phone constantly. If we could get in touch with those people, and just maybe sort of set up some sort of amiable thing that they give us reviews and we give them, I don't know, shekels. What are they looking for? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Franks.
All right. Little miniature Eiffel Towers to sell.
All right, enough of this madness. We've got a great show today.
This is what happens when two men are left in alone in a room for too long together.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about The Lighthouse. We'll start out by giving a brief review and our score for the film. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge, where it makes you angry that you just watched it, 5 being a perfectly average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good it transcends genre boundaries. I mean, you all know what 1 through 10 mean.
Yeah.
After we give our score, we go into a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film and talk about spoilers. And then later on, we will be doing a couple bits. Number one, perennial favorite, taglines, where we come up with alternate taglines for the film. And then, drum roll. We're going to announce the winner of our pumpkin carving contest.
Woo!
Our super, super popular pumpkin carving
Actually,
contest.
Actually, it turned out to be, like, there was a lot of last minute under the wire submissions.
Yeah, it was good.
It was like the last day people were like, fuck this shit, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm leaving it on. I haven't turned it off. So if within the next 20 minutes, as we're recording, not that anyone knows that we are, if someone submits, we'll include them in. I mean, it's not so popular that we can't review every single pumpkin on air.
What was it, like 10 or 11 pumpkins, something like that?
There was nine.
Nine pumpkins.
Nine pumpkins. But some really impressive.
Yeah, they range the gamut from total absolute abject shit to the most amazing pumpkins I've ever seen. So within nine is apparently that's the amount you need.
Right. That is a decent sample size to get a winner.
Right.
So again, we went to The Lighthouse and it was a descent into madness.
Truly a descent into madness. Yeah.
Here is the trailer.
Tell me, what's a timberman want with being a wiki?
Just looking to earn a living. It's like any man. Starting new.
On the run. Keeping secrets, are you?
No, sir.
Watch you spill your beans. Watch you spill your beans. Rock. 5 weeks? 2 days? Help me to recollect.
Man, that foghorn sounds like a kaiju.
A what?
Like a Godzilla type monster.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. Yeah. You know, just before we go on, I am going to have to apologize for my voice. I am ill.
No, it sounds great.
Oh, baby.
Sounds rough and tumble. Mm. Rough and or tumble.
Tell us about The Lighthouse, Bryce.
The Lighthouse is in theaters right now.
I'm pretty excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah, this one is a very interesting movie to talk about.
Yeah. It's very specifically that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this movie made for.
It is definitely a film student film.
Yeah.
And, I mean, film student in that film students for a long time are going to be talking about this film.
Oh, my God. And there's just going to be so many wet panties in that.
So in his sophomore film, Robert Eggers follows up The Witch with a rom-com set in Nova Scotia. William Dafoe plays an experienced sailor, and Robert Pattinson plays his young, supple protege. In this will-they-won't-they romantic drama, they fight happiness every step of the way until it finally wears them down.
It finally wears them down. I almost spat out my tea.
Actually, The Lighthouse is about two lighthouse keepers, or wikis, that are stationed in a remote lighthouse in New England. Willem Dafoe plays Thomas Wake, an elderly, salty seaman, and Robert Pattinson plays Ephraim Winslow, a young man trying out a new career. As Wake domineers over Winslow, forcing him to do all the hard labor of upkeep for the tattered lighthouse, he spends the coveted watch at night basking naked in the warm glow of the lamp. Literally, basking naked.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Winslow wants some of that sweet, naked, basking action, and he slowly descends into madness. So
I'm glad you had fun with this.
Yeah, if you're going into this film expecting another The Witch, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But disappointed that it's not the same type of film as The Witch.
You
won't necessarily be disappointed in the film.
No.
But if it's a particular type of film, and it's going to turn off a lot of people for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I said to you yesterday, and this holds true, is...
Man, you gotta, before we record, you just got to, like, scream and lose your voice, because you sound just really right now.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I was disappointed that this movie wasn't what I wanted it to be, which was another... like slow build tension horror movie. It's not that it's not a horror movie.
It does have slow build tension.
It does have a lot of tension, but it's a different kind.
Right.
And it's about a totally different, the build is into madness instead of into terror.
Right.
Which is a terror in and of itself a little bit, but it is kind of specific.
Right.
And it's a great movie. It's just not the same movie at all.
Right. This is a much more surreal and confusing film than The Witch. However, what this movie does share with Eggers' first film is a meticulous, historically accurate film with a unique and striking visual style.
Yeah.
While I might not have loved this film as much as I thought I would, I can't help but have respect for Eggers' ambitious artistic vision. And then the other main thing is Pattinson and Dafoe are amazing.
I cannot believe how good Pattinson is.
Yeah, it's perfect casting for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Dafoe is obviously like so perfect for at this point he's like a perfectly ripe fruit. He's just got it down for acting.
Yeah.
But Pattinson blew me away. Like, I was like, oh, the guy from fucking Twilight? Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. But in particular, I mean, Willem Dafoe is a fantastic actor, and he can be great in anything. But in particular, this type of role,
oh, yeah,
he is so good at.
I believe he's that guy.
Yeah. They both give amazing performances. There are some really great scenes and monologues in here. General audiences are probably going to be turned off by a lot of the choices that are made in terms of narrative, and visual style. But film students will be creaming over this movie for years to come.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just fascinating. And I mean, that's what the takeaway from listening to Ari Aster and Robert Eggers in that A24 podcast episode. They are both huge film nerds. Like, deep dives into history of filmmaking and, you know, lenses.
I mean,
and
Eggers
shots and stuff. So it comes out in this movie.
You can really tell in this movie, almost to the point where it's a little bit like, yeah, okay, guy. Like, you're gonna shoot in 1:1. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's
that's a little so that shooting it in a 1:1 ratio makes it almost like on the surface douchey.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very easy, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people in our horror or just general audiences are going to look at this and be like, well, this guy is a huge pretentious douchebag.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is just...
But also...
This is insulting to my sensibilities.
if he is that, he's way better at it than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
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 So kind of shut up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still a great movie. Mm-hmm. Is this a horror movie? Kind of. It has enough horror elements to qualify. It's way more of a horror movie than Happy Death Day to You.
Oh, my God.
But most of the focus is on the tension between the two main characters and the mental instability caused by seclusion and alcoholism. That being said, there are definitely some Lovecraftian and folkloric horror elements in here. So I kind of struggled with a score for this because I can recognize that it is a great, great film, but also it's not completely for me.
Right.
There was some really great moments that I really enjoyed, but I don't know if I'm going to be revisiting this film very much. And I know I laughed several parts and winced, like it was very effective.
Oh, yeah.
And really beautiful. But I can't give it a 10 out of 10 like I did The Witch. I think The Witch is just a perfect movie. And this one, I don't know. I mean, it's so subjective. It's a preference thing, but I give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, so I too have been thinking about this score, excuse me, for a while now. And I seem to be hovering around a 7 to a 9. And I know what you're talking about. Like, with The Witch, there's no fat on the bone at all. It's all very well laid out. It's all very intentional.
Yeah.
But the problem is the subject matter of this is losing your mind.
Right.
And so there is a lot of nefarious, weird, extraneous baloney.
Right.
That adds to that in ways that, oh, well, that could have been cut out. But could it?
Right.
Like, okay, well, now I get to see Willem Dafoe kind of humping his bed
Hey, this isn't the spoiler section.
In a Peeping Tom sort of way. Is that necessary? Well, no, but also yes, because, like, this is about two men going mad together.
Right.
And so I think if you ask me in 8 months, the same way if you ask me in 8 months about the house that Jack built, mm-hmm. I think I'll like this movie a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point.
And so, because my expectations will have been tempered, and I won't expect another Witch. I will have gone, oh, that's a movie about losing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect at that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think I fall between an 8 and a 9, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
And that's a taste thing. But it's a great movie.
So you got to choose. Is it 8 or 9?
That's, I mean, right now, as it stands, I'd say it's a high 8.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I mean, I originally was going to give it a 7, and then I stood back and I was like, no, it's too good to be a 7.
It is.
It really is. The quality of the craft is so impressive.
The acting alone is so great.
Yeah.
that it has, for me, it's just like, oh my God, like it's so brilliant watching the chemistry between Dafoe and Pattinson. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's enchanting.
Yeah, it's and it'll stick with you in a weird sort of salty breeze kind of way.
Yeah. So that's our score. Before we get into spoilers, let's talk about some business items. This is what we call our mid-roll section. Please check out our Patreon. If you're a longtime listener or if you're starting to get into the show and like it, support us directly by going to our Patreon. You'll get access to special patron bonus content. We got things as simple as just having access to our upcoming calendar, and as wonderful as getting early access to episodes and exclusive access to our AfterPod podcast, where we just leave the mics running after the episode, and you get to hear us shoot the shit about other stuff that's not necessarily related to horror movies. You can also support the podcast by buying or renting any movie or product on Amazon if you click through the green button in the header of our website. That website is horrormovietalk.com. And also, check out our resident artist, Dustin Goebel. He is a professional artist who fucks hard. So check out the Stranger Things art book he was featured in, Visions from the Upside Down. It's pretty legit, hardbound, over 200 artists, fan works, officially licensed by Netflix. He also takes commissions for artwork from HMT fans. Check him out on Instagram. It's at DGOEBEL00. And make your artistic dreams come true. Tell him HMT sent you. He is really great, and he's very generous with his talent to the podcast.
Yeah.
The last four episodes have featured artwork by him, and it's just fantastic. And this one has a great cover art for it. So go to horrormovietalk.com or any of our social media. And also, Shudder. If you haven't already signed up for Shudder from Halloween, you still have a chance to use HMT at checkout to get a 30-day free trial for Shudder. Shudder is a horror movie and television streaming service akin to Netflix, but has great curated horror content. You probably know what Shudder is if you're listening to us right now.
Let me just say, you need Shudder for Halloween. You just do. And with 30 days free, that'll get you over into fucking Thanksgiving at this point.
Right.
So sign up for Shudder using HMT at checkout, and you'll help us out, and you'll get to stream tons of free horror.
Yep.
And then if you want to sign up after that, it's super cheap. It's like $3 or $4 a month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Again, thanks for listening. Let's get into spoilers. Spoilers?
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers. Okay, so this is a movie that you don't necessarily have to talk about all the beats of it, of the film, because I still don't really know what went on through a lot of it. There's a couple things to hit in terms of plot, but really I wanted to talk about
it would be annoying in the extreme to hit it beat by beat.
Yeah. So just want to talk about some of the elements that stood out and that were really great and unique about this film. First of all, the visual style is really striking.
Right off the bat, it hits you really hard. It hits you. They start out on a ship in the fog, and it's just this gray screen with this haunting, like you said, kaiju-esque, moaning foghorn in the distance. That's just, that kind of shakes the whole theater.
Yeah. Well, that would be sound. But we're talking about visual style.
Oh, my apologies.
Sorry. Put you on blast. So first thing that you notice is the aspect ratio is 1.19:1, which is basically square.
Yeah.
It looks like an Instagram frame, and it's one of those things that, and it's in black and white. So black and white square aspect ratio. And even I, knowing Eggers and that this is going to be a super artistic film, and I think I've even heard that the aspect ratio is going to be that, but even I was expecting after the intro to be like, and now it widens out into widescreen. It's like, no, you, the full time is that aspect ratio, super confined and claustrophobic, which actually works really good for the subject matter.
Yeah. And there are not a lot of, anytime you're with a person in this movie, you're close to them. The framing is close.
Right. It's lots of close-ups.
Yeah.
And putting it in that aspect ratio is really interesting in terms of the balance of the framing of it, of the shots. I don't know. It just has a real unique style, and it's really evocative, showing stuff in such an equal framing.
You know, the one thing that does bother me about like modern movie trends is this is, and it's inescapable at this point, it seems like, because even The Lighthouse is doing it, which is these jump cut edits where you just cut back and forth between two people talking instead of having a full frame of them talking. And I understand the reasoning behind it in this movie, but in movies like Transformers or something like that, or just any blockbuster movie where you constantly have to be looking directly at the face of the person who is talking to the other person who then it jumps to. And it cuts up the movie in this weird, like if you go back and watch Hitchcock, or if you go back and watch, you know, movies from the 40s or 50s, that you get these long panning shots that are granted, they're probably much harder to capture in terms of acting, because you can't just have a take. You have to have people act against each other very, very in a very convincing way, and it doesn't lend itself to the cutting room floor very well. But I would like to see a movie that has these long panning shots.
Yeah, it feels like older movies definitely use the 2 and 3 shot a lot more.
Yeah.
and put people in the, you know, what would you call that? They stage it
right
a lot better. But it's also the films of those older generations are also much more closely related to stage, and so they're used to blocking.
Yeah.
For stage, to where, you know, people are framed a certain, or they're facing a certain way, where it's all very convenient to see them at the same spot.
Right. But for the viewer, it's a continuity thing. It's a little bit disorienting.
I didn't notice that in this movie. I mean, there's a lot of jump cuts and stuff that are a little jarring on purpose, but I didn't notice specifically that.
I mean, it's something that I watch for, just because my uncle will literally not watch anything past a certain year, because he's like, it's too...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He notes that he's basically, it's just too jarring for me, and I don't appreciate the craft as much as I do. And so now I have an eye out for it, and
that's interesting.
And he's right, you know, it is choppy, but anyway.
So the look of this film is also affected by the technology used. They used some really, really old technology, older lenses, older cameras, really film nerdy stuff, older film stock. The film stock was, I'm not a nerd enough to actually say what the film they used was, but what I did find out about it is that it requires really high exposure. Like, you have to, it said something like they had to light it like 20 times brighter than normal to get stuff visual, you know? So apparently, even though this film feels
really dark,
and through a lot of it, apparently like the crew would have to wear like sunglasses a lot of the time because it was so brightly lit.
That's crazy.
And this all gives the effect that this film is plucked out of time.
Yeah.
There's a shot early on of Defoe and Pattinson basically looking in the frame as they're approaching the lighthouse, or they're looking at the boat sail away in the beginning. And it literally looks like an Old West photo, or like a World War I documentary shot of just like, okay guys, stand here. I just want to get a shot of you. And it looks like two grizzled war veterans that are like, why do I got to stand here and do this shit? Like, yeah. I got to feed them hogs.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the, so, I mean, there's a lot of that element that all this visual style really evokes.
Yeah. And as in right following that, as the boat, as they're watching the boat slip away into the fog, it feels like a miniature.
Uh-huh.
It feels like they're using a miniature boat. They, mm-hmm. And they may be, because it slips off into like this, what feels like a miniature set.
Yeah. And mist. It kind of just disappears into the mist. Okay. Let's talk about the sound design of the movie, which is also fantastic. Like you said, what were you going to say about the foghorn?
Oh, it was just, it was rattling, and it was, you know, it was, okay. So if you're going to live on top of a foghorn and there's fog around, it's going to be pervasive to the extreme. I mean, the sound is just going to be all encompassing, and it felt that way in the theater. It felt like, oppressive. It was this honk. Yeah. It was like a war siren kind
of. Yeah.
And it was loud and deep and long, and it didn't stop. It felt a little Tetsuo the Iron Man-y at the start of this movie when he's like in the coal room, you know.
Yeah.
And there was all this machinery around him. And uh-huh. It felt very claustrophobic and loud.
Yeah. So that sound, they used recordings of period accurate foghorns. Apparently, the sound designer on this film went to this guy on YouTube that makes YouTube videos
of course.
Maintaining foghorns teaching about period foghorns. I think I've actually seen some of the videos, which are really soothing. Like it just shows him like oiling and maintaining these old foghorns, and you see it winding up and slowly, like the machinery is like ticking away, and then it slowly winds up. You know, it's really cool. Anyway, so he took the period accurate foghorn sounds and they manipulated them to be more ominous, memorable, and unique to the film. It really is a unique sound and very like menacing.
Yeah, and the sound of the ocean and the weather is always in the background.
Yeah.
And always kind of washing over you.
And the music is there, but it's pretty sparse. It doesn't get in the way. Eggers talked about just what he wanted with the film. He didn't want a lot of strings. He didn't want a lot of, orchestration. So a lot of winds. Mentioned like aleatoric music, which is kind of random chance music.
Chanting?
No, chance.
What's chance?
Like roll of the dice? Chance?
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Probability?
Oh, chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I thought you were saying chants.
No.
And like explaining that dice were an instrument. I was like, no. Bryce, are you insane?
The production design, same with his previous movie, The Witch, is really impressive.
Yeah.
Just period accurate. They look fantastic. They built an actual life-sized working lighthouse from scratch.
What?
In Nova Scotia.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So they didn't build all the interiors and stuff, but the exterior was all built up life-size, but it is working because they had a period-appropriate lighthouse lens created for the film. It's like, wow, that's really cool. And when Robert Eggers talks about the budget, he's like, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a moderate budget, but I can't even, sometimes I'm just have to stand back and realize, man, filmmaking is really expensive. Can you imagine just going to a period lighthouse lens creator and being like, this is the specific dimensions and this is what we're going for. And they're like, okay, yeah,
That guy goes home to his wife and he's like, so it'll never pay off, huh? Well, guess what happened today? A film studio approached me and asked me to craft them a $500,000 lighthouse deal.
So yeah, they really built it. You know, it was built out of like plywood and apparently like some kind of printed tarp or whatever. But it looked great. Apparently the town in Nova Scotia that could see the lighthouse really wanted to keep it because it looked so cool. But it was going to fall apart anyway, so they had to tear it down.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and then the interiors, though, were shot on a soundstage. A lot of the weather was just practical. I mean, not practical. It was like literally that was the weather shooting. I think some of the more extreme ones, like when the wind and rain blows through the wall, you know, and like basically destroys the room, that's probably done on a soundstage. But the exteriors, I don't think they had to pump in rain. That was really happening. The ocean, I'm sure they were able to just shoot the ocean.
Aye, she's a harsh mistress.
So it just looks real great. Feels there's a lot of care and attention given to the look of this film. And also, speaking of period appropriate, like all the dialogue, just like The Witch, was taken from period sources, taken from Melville and who was the other author? Another like sailor author, and then like I think a nonfiction or someone like taking interviews from sailors back then. And so there's a lot of words that you're not used to, like wiki.
it would definitely help this movie, I think, if Defoe was subtitled.
Yeah.
Because he goes hard on being like accurate. And he accomplishes like, you know, that old Irishman sound where you're just like, what the fuck did you say? And you're like, rah, rah, rah. And he's like, rah, rah, rah. And it's like, God damn, I can't understand a fucking word that you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so bad that you won't completely understand them. And a lot of that old sailor talk, like you've seen from, you know, parodies of sailors from that time. But definitely a lot of words that you're not used to and a lot of phrases that feel very, you know, real to the time period. So the acting is the standout part. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, the look and the production and the sound are all amazing, but all of that is completely eclipsed by the performances of Defoe and Pattinson.
Yeah, it's, man, Defoe has, I mean, he... Okay, so obviously Defoe is one of those guys who every time you see him, you go, that's Willem Dafoe at this point. Kind of like Steve Buscemi or
and his
Brad
voice
Pitt.
Is really distinctive.
And his voice is really distinctive.
He's able to have a lot of different colors in his voice, but definitely like the low growl is like his wheelhouse.
Yeah, and so with that being said, it's... As a super recognizable actor, that makes your job a lot harder, in my opinion, because now you got to fade into your character, and it's made all the more difficult by the fact that everybody knows what you look and sound like, and they go, that's who you are. But he did it, man. He disappeared into this role. He is in this. He's a stinky, old, salty bastard who is just, his only love is the sea. And, man, just a fabulous performance.
Yeah. I mean, he's fantastic. And you would expect, like, okay, this is perfect for Willem Dafoe, and he's going to just rock it. And then you would kind of expect, like, I mean, I haven't seen Robert Pattinson on a lot of movies.
No.
I know he's a better actor than the Twilight series would give you the impression of.
Yeah.
But he was really amazing. Like,
crushed it.
Yeah. Like, really, he is leading the movie with his performance. A lot of range. He starts out the film as a really quiet spoken character and really elicits a lot of empathy from the viewer. You're like, oh man, this poor guy, like, it's has to deal with this old crusty sailor and it's kind of unjust. And you're really like getting behind him.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, this, yeah, I'm like, I'm on board with, what's his name?
Winslow?
Elias. Is it Elias?
No, Elam. Elam.
Ephraim. Ephraim Winslow.
Elam.
And then he just slowly kind of loses you.
Devolves
like,
into.
Devolves into, like, to where it's like, well, wait a minute. He's kind of being selfish, or he's kind of being childish about this. Maybe he's not as mature.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he's a person now.
And then it goes into like, oh, well, that's, oh, this guy is making some real bad choices.
Yeah.
And, it goes real hard into the paint.
Yeah, he devolves into a flawed person instead of, you know, basically a whipping boy.
Yeah, lots of moments in between being a really empathetic character and protagonist to like, oh, this guy is the villain.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But is he like, that's the coolest part of this movie is the movie is essentially gaslighting the audience.
Right.
The whole time. And I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
It manages to mess with you the whole way through and make you question everything that's going on.
Yeah. And it's not as obvious as a movie like Memento or,
right,
or, what's the other one that this movie is a lot like? What's that Leo DiCaprio, Martin Scorsese?
Oh, Shutter Island.
Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Like, there are more obvious ways to, like,
right,
to trick the viewer and to show, like, hey, this isn't what you thought it was.
Right.
And this is much more of playing with colors. Like, that was one thing that I wrote down, that even though this is a black and white film, this is a very... It deals with colors in terms of thematic material,
right,
and just the subject matter and how it's approached. It's like a lot of different.
Well, it does what I prefer a movie like this does instead of. Okay, so it was a great example that you bring up, Memento or Shutter Island.
Mm-hmm.
So these movies have truths at the end of them, right? They have absolute truths that they go, nope, here's the answer. Here's what actually is really going on. And this movie does not do that. It leaves it fairly wobbly.
Right.
It's like, which part of that was actually real? There are parts that you can pretty easily deduce. That probably was him going mad, but there's plenty of spots where it's like, I still don't know. Like, and it leaves it to you to just be like, this is madness, man.
Yeah.
You're descending with them.
It really feels like an experience.
Yeah, it does.
So the uncertainty brought in is, okay, how much of this is alcoholism versus insanity,
right,
you know, or what's the interplay between that?
Right.
How much of the events are actually supernatural versus like hallucinations and madness?
Yeah.
Like that's not
dreams,
clear.
Like how much of it is a dream?
Yeah. And how much of it is Winslow going mad versus Wake fucking with him?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
and it's all,
and
you're never, like all that stuff, you're never given,
a
real
concrete
answer.
And like the whole time is, it seems as though Wake is a puppeteer and is trying to drive this boy mad, but he's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it comes down to, it's an unreliable narrator. It's,
yeah,
it's very much like American Psycho is,
yeah,
that you don't, it's never tipped off whether it's,
right,
real or not. So the stuff that happens where Wake says something that completely contradicts what you just saw.
Right.
You just saw it with your eyes. And he's saying, like, so for example, there's a great scene, very The Shining-esque. You know, actually, this movie, I didn't write it down, but this movie is a lot like The Shining.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The actual, like, book storyline of it, because The Shining is all about alcoholism.
Yeah.
Like, the actual source material. And that's not as clear in the Kubrick movie, to me,
sure.
upon first viewing. But it's really about isolation and alcoholism, and that's this movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
And so it has this great scene where we see Pattinson chasing after Defoe. No, we see Defoe chasing after Pattinson with an axe, like a literal axe murderer in chase.
Yeah.
And they get back to the interior of the lighthouse, and they're talking about it. And then Defoe tells Pattinson, is like, "You're going crazy. You just chased me down with an axe."
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
wait, what the fuck?
So you're left to question, did what I see, is that not what actually happened? Was that in Winslow's head? Or is Wake fucking with Winslow by telling him something opposite happened? And since he's drunk, he can't tell the difference.
There's an added element of the audience being fucked with, because you're like, whoa.
It's very disorienting.
Yeah, it's disorienting in your head, in just messing with your head, because you go, wait, what? That's not. Wait, what?
Right. And then it's such an unreliable narrator, because they're both pretty drunk. I mean, Wake is less drunk or
towards the
more,
second third of the movie.
Like, so it's like, if it's through the eyes of Winslow, it's not reliable. But also, if it's through the eyes of Wake, it's not reliable either. Like,
right.
You don't know.
Wake is lying. Winslow is maybe going crazy.
Yeah. Or maybe he's not lying.
Maybe he's not lying.
Maybe Winslow is just misinterpreting it, or it's through his crazy hallucination or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of uncertainty in this one. We went and saw this with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin wasn't able to make it to the recording today. I don't know if he'll ever be able to make it. I hope he does.
Does the audience know who Kevin is?
We've talked about Kevin once or twice before. Kevin is a longtime friend of mine since first grade.
Yeah.
And we nerd out about film all the time, but he sent me a couple emails following up with last night, and I wanted to read some of his comments. First of all, he says, let me see. I'll hold that one for later. He says, by the way, Thomas Wake is such a fucking fantastic name for an old salty lighthouse keeper, which is true.
Yeah, it's great.
Kevin really nerds out at names. And if you ever want to come up with a name for a character in a movie, Kevin, like, is great at coming up with ridiculous names.
Okay.
Just FYI. And he says, and again, Robert Pattinson, I don't know if you're planning on talking about this on the podcast, but I would personally dedicate a whole segment in it. The guy was so stiff in the Twilight films that he resembled Frankenstein's monster trying to portray Dracula, and has been reeling off one amazing performance after another as of late. I never saw it coming. Yeah, he's really impressive in this movie.
Yeah, it's hard. Okay, so, like, this is such a weird thing. Like, it's so snobby to look at an actor. And okay, so my reaction is, there can be good actors in what's it called?
Twilight. Yeah,
but
and there are good actors.
But also,
in Twilight.
I particularly don't like Kristen Stewart.
Uh-huh.
I think she's bad, and so I just, now there's this thing that my mind does where it's like, oh, you're associated with Kristen Stewart. Sorry. And Twilight is hit with like a triple dose of that, right? Because it's also Twilight, and there's Kristen Stewart, and you play it super stiff, and you're a heartthrob. Like, it's just too much. It's too much for you to be good in my eyes. And then you come out,
and you do like an amazing job, and I'm like, you've overcome my bar and surpassed it so much so that now I have to stand back and go, boy, I'm kind of a dick.
Yeah. And also it turns it into, okay, well now I got to see what else he's in.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. The transition of teenage heartthrobs, especially the male version of it, that they, it's hard for them to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's harder for women to overcome that. But really, if you think about like Zac Efron or Robert Pattinson, they are both actually really great actors.
Yeah.
Like they're able to give really great performances, but they have to overcome a lot of that, like, do I get to see his abs?
And for good reason, too. Zac Efron is a fucking looker of a person.
Like, I would fuck Zac Efron.
He is stunning to look at.
Right.
Like, it's, and I mean, there's no way, if I were to cast Zac Efron in a 17th century period piece, I'd have him take his shirt off at some point. Probably his pants too. Because Jesus Christ.
And on that note, like even
Robert Pattinson too.
Robert Pattinson or McConaughey. Like he's so like colored by his abs.
Yeah.
And not wearing a shirt that you don't realize that he is a fantastic actor.
Yeah. All of them stunt. Like, and Pattinson in this, like, thank God they had him take off his shirt because at some point he took off his shirt and I was like, Jesus Christ, that man is chiseled.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Apparently they're going to show a lot more of Robert Pattinson.
Dick Root?
I heard that there was a shot in the film that was cut, was demanded to be cut by the film studio, I think, where Robert Eggers wanted to have a shot of the lighthouse emulating an erect penis and then flash cut to an actual erect penis.
Oh.
Owned by
stunt
Robert Pattinson's character. So I don't know if we'd
bring out the stunt cock.
I mean, that's a real tragedy if it was actually Robert Pattinson's cock that we could, that we aren't allowed to see, or if it was just stunt cock.
Well, that just means you got to wait for the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Hey, you know,
Blue Ball Ray.
I would really like to talk about the smell in this movie, particularly starting one with the farts.
One of the main elements of this movie is the farts.
This is great.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe, basically our introduction to him as a character is him.
Piss.
big honking
rips.
And it's pervasive. And it works every time. I laughed probably every time
every
that he farts. Because it is just an old man type, I don't give a fuck, farting.
Yeah.
And you just see Pattinson's reaction to it, and you know, I felt very akin to that man, because
oh, shut up.
It's basically like what I experience every day in a podcast you know, recording.
Yeah, realizing you're stuck with a farter is a hard thing to come to terms with. It's like, oh, this guy just does. Dude, my poor wife, like last night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, man. And the night before, even. Like,
Like, you take a walk out of our bedroom in the morning, you know, for 5 minutes, and then you come back in, and it's like, oh, my God!
I'm no longer acclimated!
Oh, it smells so bad. She's like, you were just hotboxing me all night. I was like, I'm sorry. I had some beers at the movie. It made me gassy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
It was
gross. But this dude stuck with a farter for 7 months? Or, no, maybe a month?
I think the original stay for their watch was 4 weeks, it says. And then they missed...
Yeah, that was what I...
They missed the boat.
Yeah.
And then it's...
Or the boat doesn't come because of a storm. We don't know.
It's undefined on how long... This actually takes place, but they go through all of their supplies.
Yeah.
And they have to unbury the emergency
store
rations, which is just alcohol, yeah, apparently. Like, we don't need like any pickled eggs or anything. Let's just give them vodka, right, like a giant box of vodka.
Well, I mean, it truly is the most important part, because when you don't have potable water, you need calories and you need to be able to drink. And so this is why sailors were drunk all the time, is because they could not store enough potable water.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to drink. Yeah. So it worked out very well, because one has calories.
Yeah. So, there's so much to talk about in this movie. We can't, ye beauty.
So they get to the lighthouse, and quickly it's the hierarchy is established. Defoe is like, hey, you're the bitch, go do the bitch things. I'm cool man hot shit over here, and I'm gonna do the cool man hot shit stuff, which is I'm gonna sit in the lighthouse at night and look at the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Inside with the light. And then almost immediately, it's like, whoa, this is fucking weird. Because his first shift, he gets drunk off his ass, and he goes and sits up with the lighthouse, like in the lighthouse naked. And I mean, haggard, like just blitzed out of his mind. One eye is almost closed, and he's sitting there just like cheersing with the lighthouse, as though it is a person that he is in love with very much.
Right.
And he's like, to ye beauty. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Because he's like touching himself, kind of.
Yeah. Robert Pattinson's character climbs up the lighthouse to kind of see what's going on. And
some cum comes down. Like some cum drops past him. He's like, whoa, yeah, watch out for the cum.
Well, there's the first one. It just looks like the first time you see Defoe up there, he is naked and he is really drunk. And there's something going on between him and the light, but you don't know. And then later, I think before the madness really starts, or before like the before
Pattinson starts drinking. Yeah.
He goes up there, and there's, like, you can spot, like, a tentacle in the corner or something. Someone's fucking, definitely.
Some fast-moving tentacles.
And there's, like, cum or tentacle juice dripping down, and you're just like, what is going on? So, and again, this is before he starts drinking, so is it in his mind? Is something really happening?
This is what I love the most. This is my favorite move that a movie can do. It's not... Like, right, you don't ever get to know.
Right.
It's just, what the fuck was that? I love it.
Yeah. So the main point is Winslow doesn't drink. He wants to live by the books, and he's like citing
the lighthouse keeper's manual.
And Wake is trying to get him to, you know, be a little looser and be more, you know, fun and talk to him.
Yeah. Like, I'm stuck here for a long time with you. Can you please hold up your end of this social bargain?
Yeah. And it's not until they miss the boat. It's the last day, their last night, Pattinson finally breaks down and takes a drink, and they get roaring drunk immediately. Like, they are just completely blasted. And then the next morning when they go out and wait for the boat never comes.
Yeah.
So from then on, though, like, Winslow does not go back to sober living. He is 100% into the paint with drinking.
Yeah, and there's some, what do you call it? Some symbolic imagery and some symbolic shit going on in this movie as well with seagulls.
Yeah.
And seabirds.
Yeah, that's...
Kill a seabird!
Yeah, I guess before that point, kind of the main turning point of the movie...
It's a bold fucking seagull.
That they have these seagulls, and one one-eyed seagull in particular kind of is really annoying and mocking Pattinson's character.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Wake, Defoe's character, makes it a big point to don't fuck with seagulls. He says it's bad luck to kill a seabird.
Yeah.
Because it even says in the trailer,
they house the souls of sailors past.
Yeah. And then, of course, what happens is,
he murders the fuck out of a seagull. He kills that thing shitless.
Yeah, he really just grabs that seagull and rams it into the side of a rock like over and over and over and over again. And that's when the turning point is. That's when the wind changes and when they miss the boat. And then all of a sudden it's like a real deep dive into madness.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of the kind of supernatural or horror elements kind of start coming in. Winslow spots a mermaid.
Yeah, kind of goes full Jumanji after that. It's like just the place starts coming down around him because this storm just won't let up.
Right.
There's some animals coming out of the sea looking to fuck. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, you get a real good... I mean, we don't get to see Pattinson's dick, but you get a real good shot of some mermaid puss.
Yeah, it's like a screen flash of, like, the most vaginal thing I can think of, just a flash. It wasn't like a long shot of a vagina.
I mean, I can see it right now, but...
Yeah, I can too.
So they talked about how they came up with that. They based it on shark vaginas, apparently. They tried to make a real, real vaginal to add that element of...
Yeah, it was
mermaids.
It was to the point of a flower, you know. It was like, ooh, bleh.
Yeah.
That's the sound, right? That's the sound. Ooh, bleh.
So apparently, historically, mermaids had split tails, like on the Starbucks cup, you know, because part of the reason for the mythology around mermaids is that you got horny semen and they want to fuck something.
Yeah.
So like it'd be easier if there was, you know, something up there.
Yeah.
And then of course in the Victorian era, they put the tail back together where there's no vagina. So you're like, well, why am I attracted to this? What? Well, I mean, I guess, you know, they got hands and a mouth.
Dolphins do stuff. You know, the horniness is a big part of this movie.
Oh yeah.
A
huge part. Yeah. And it's almost an allegory of, like, situational homosexuality.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a huge element of, like, just all of a sudden you're like, are they gonna fuck?
Is that what's gonna happen? Is it about to get butt stinky in here?
Yeah. And, like, I said it as a joke, but really there is an element of will they, won't they in this movie.
Like, yeah, absolutely there is. And it's understandable, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, so a buddy of mine, one of our Patreon members, Adrian, was telling, I was talking to him this week, and he said, you know, what are you reviewing? I said, The Lighthouse. And he said, oh, you know, so he just hiked a trail called the West Coast Trail, and it's in Victoria Island in British Columbia there. And lots of lighthouses along the way. And lighthouses are still a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not gone. There are still people who inhabit them as well. And
which is kind of crazy because everything's got GPS now. Like, why would you need a light to show you where the shore is?
Well, because not everything is a giant commercial vessel. And there is a service that the government needs to provide to make sure that people are safe. And part of that is Coast Guard and the other part is lighthouses. And so these people who inhabit these lighthouses, you know, they go out there for 7 month shifts where they're alone.
Yeah.
For 7 months. They get rations brought to them and books and stuff, but they're essentially alone in a lighthouse in the middle of the ocean for a long time. And I think I would like doing something like that.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if I didn't have a family,
well,
that'd be pretty nice.
Or maybe because, but, but yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, how much would you say you masturbate in those 7 months?
Oh.
7 months worth of masturbation straight? Like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like,
Yeah, I mean, it would be.
And if there was another person there, well, who knows?
I mean, the rations would have to be, all right, so we need, you know, 3 squares a day. We need probably, like, enough books to read one a day. And then you'd also need to, like, ship in an entire industrial barrel of lube.
Yeah, and lotion.
And lotion. Just, I mean, that salty sea air is not kind to your skin.
No. You know, yeah.
You're going to get real chapped hands, and that's not going to be nice.
You're going to come out of there looking like a 75-year-old man, and your dick's going to look like it's 14.
Yeah, you'd... man, if you had like a one of those, what do you call them?
Oh, fleshlight?
Like the, yeah, fleshlight, like a pussy sleeve. That thing would just be...
pussy sleeve!
that would be just like so melted by the time you're halfway through your stint.
I need another pussy sleeve.
It would just be ragged.
Give me one of them butt sleeves.
I'll tell you what, they need to make one of those mermaid pussy sleeves and then...
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Well, that's a drop.
Pussy. All right. And then, slow descent into madness. And then, at this point, there's not really a lot to talk about in terms of what happens. But the major spoiler is, doesn't end up well. They both die.
Yeah.
I just wanted to touch briefly on my favorite scenes. Like, I think the best scenes in the movie, if we haven't talked about them already. There's a great scene where Winslow criticizes Wake's lobster. Like, it's the breaking point. And he's like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you, old man. And your cooking sucks. And then Wake, Defoe's character, goes on this impressively long and elaborate ranting tirade. You know, just it felt like a Shakespearean... Like, his feelings are hurt, and he's like calling upon the powers of Poseidon and
you don't like me, lobster,
cursing him and like calling down the supernatural elements of the sea to destroy Winslow for not liking his lobster. And then at the end, Winslow's like,
I like your lobster.
All right, I like your lobster.
It's all right.
That's a fantastic scene.
Yeah.
I wish I could pull that for this episode, but that's worth price of admission there. The other main important scene is Ephraim. Oh yeah, this important scene that David stepped out to pee.
Yeah, great.
I turned to Kevin. Kevin has a notoriously small bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is really like peeing all the time. And I turned to him and said, I finally found someone that has a smaller bladder than you.
That's not fair even remotely. I had a beer before I got there,
uh-huh.
22 ounces.
Uh-huh.
And then I had 44 ounces before I went pee in the theater.
Uh-huh.
That's 66 ounces.
I mean...
It's not that...
You weren't drinking
anything. It's not that I have a small bladder. It's that I drink and you don't.
Yeah, but I feel like if you pee right before a movie, you can still hold it for 2 hours, can't you?
66 ounces.
Yeah, but it's not all leaking down there, though.
I'll tell you what. Let's have a contest. You and me. Okay. We'll go toe-to-toe, water for water.
Let's see who lasts. All right. Anyways, David stepped out at least 3 times from the theater.
No,
I stepped out 2 times.
All right. Well, are you thinking about
No, actually, three times? I didn't. I only stepped out the one time. The first time I got up, walked over to the side and stood there and watched the movie. And then I was like, I can't leave. And I sat back down. I never left the movie theater more than the one time when Ephraim admitted to
it. Well, he missed the most important scene in terms of the drama. So Ephraim admits to murder back when he was a logger. He murdered a coworker that annoyed him, and, well, basically the coworker fell and he did nothing to save him. And then he took on his name. So his name isn't actually Ephraim Winslow, but it's also Thomas something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And that's followed by one of the best lines that's repeated over and over again. Why'd you spill your beans? Why'd you spill your beans?
Why'd you tell me?
And another great scene is after Wake is, well, actually, as Wake is murdered, he's being buried. So they fight, and Wake is basically, like, tattered. And he's let out like a dog. See, this is weird, where it's like, is this really happening?
Yeah, it was so surreal and weird.
And so Defoe's character is put in this pit, and Pattinson is burying him, and he's like, Wake is talking to him and like having a monologue as he's getting buried. It's really striking and a really cool scene.
Yeah.
That one will stick with me. One of the most, this is like the scariest part of the film for me, just from the visuals, was really kind of frightening, was when Winslow actually makes it up into the lighthouse and he looks into the light. I don't know if you thought this was as cool as I did, but
I did.
It got super, super overexposed and he was screaming and it just looked like, I mean, it was, could make really good creepypasta. Just the image of kind of burnt out, black and the sound, super like,
the sound did it for me on that. It was like this. Again, like the sound was overexposed. It was like shrieking.
Super, super distorted. And it was, what do you call it? It's not just overexposed. It's like, I'm trying to think of what that setting would be. The contrast, like super, super contrasty.
Yeah.
Is what it is in black and white. So it looks really crazy.
Yeah.
And then Winslow jumps out or falls out of the lighthouse, I guess, onto the rocks. And the final, like, image of the film is Winslow on the rocks with his guts being eaten out by seagulls.
Yeah.
Which is very much a callback to the myth of Prometheus. So Prometheus is a Greek god that
Gave fire to man.
Gave fire to man against the gods' wishes, and then his punishment was he was lashed to a rock and his innards were eaten by an eagle every day.
Yes, that's right.
And he's immortal.
He was supposed to push the rock up a hill every day?
No, that's Sisyphus.
Like that. Sisyphus, okay.
No, he's just chained to the side of a mountain, basically, and an eagle came and ate his guts.
Neat.
Every day. But he'd never die, so it's not a good ending. That's the other. Oh, this is the other thing that Kevin said that I wanted to read thematically. He said another thing, because we talked about generational stuff on the car ride home, like millennials versus boomers and all that stuff. And Kevin said, actually, another thing I was going to mention, but we moved away from it in the conversation, forgot, was when we got to the whole generation thing, the movie The Lighthouse, I thought, kind of played on that theme with Wake and the older keeper. With Wake as the older keeper of the light and Winslow, the younger one, wanting to wrestle control away from Wake.
That's a good point.
And get the light for himself. And all the stuff with Winslow finding Wake's log with all the criticisms, reminding him of the generational lampooning that goes on.
Yeah.
And then there's the obviously a lot of sea god mythology and stuff.
Yeah,
It'd be interesting, something interesting to read into about what the characters were meant to represent. But yeah, the stuff around the Guardian and the Younger Seeker. So just the whole idea of the power interplay between the older and younger, and that was kind of a, there might be some meta commentary in this movie around,
yeah,
generations and how they view themselves and,
yeah,
and all that.
You guys should, if you're not a Patreon member, you guys should subscribe, for the Afterpod, which is another podcast that we run for the Patreon members. And today I will be talking about a little bit about Generation X and the author Bret Easton Ellis,
yeah,
and his book Less Than Zero, and kind of Generation X, the forgotten gen. So do that, because it's going to be interesting, because it's a fucking disturbing book, a super disturbing book. So if you guys want access to a whole nother podcast that we do, check out our Patreon. I think it's the $5 tier gets you access, mm-hmm, to that. So,
yeah.
So check it out.
So this was a really great movie. Again, not like on my top 10 or anything, but super interesting. It's something that I'm going to think about for a long time. Who would you recommend to see this movie, or would you recommend people go see this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would. If you appreciate the craft, or a well, like a clearly well honed craft towards filmmaking, this is just, you just can't do much better than this. It would be criminal if this did not hit the award circuit, given the award circuit's love of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if it didn't win a lot of awards, but they prove me wrong year after year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so
popular show.
I'm pretty over the Academy Awards, yeah, but
all awards are kind of silly.
This will be a weird thing that both of them are lead actors. So I wonder, it'll be weird if one of them gets supporting actor and one of them gets lead actor.
Yeah.
Cause they're both like, it's so even.
Yeah.
But I guess you could say Defoe's character is technically a supporting actor.
Yeah. Yeah. And Defoe already got best actor last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, they deserve awards if you care about that. Yeah. I'd also say this isn't a movie for everyone, but it's, if you go see it, you will definitely not have seen anything like it before. Just as the finished product of the visual style, the sound, the thematic material, and the script writing and the acting is just a really unique product.
Yeah, and all the commentary behind it, it's all very interesting. It reminds me of the house that Jack built, or Suspiria, in terms of care and craft.
Yeah.
And intent.
All right, let's move on to taglines.
Here's taglines.
Taglines is a game where we come up with alternate taglines for the movie we reviewed that we think might fit better or whatnot.
How many do you have?
I've got three or four.
I've only got two.
Okay.
So you go first.
I could probably do without one of them. What do I have? Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty happy with both of mine, though.
Okay. So, The Lighthouse.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. That was really wet.
Yeah. Well, that was the wet part. Here's the long one.
Okay.
The Lighthouse. Oh, wait. The Lighthouse.
Uh, one.
That one's kind of lame. I mean, this just must be a guy blowing into his arm. That doesn't sound like farts. That first one, though, was pretty great.
Yeah, it was pretty wet. Definitely shit his pants. 100%.
Okay.
The Lighthouse. Oh, just kiss already. There was one point where they almost did, too.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, you fucking guy. You trying to fucking fuck me, guy? And I'm like, maybe.
The Lighthouse. The Lighthouse. 50 Shades of Beard.
That was good.
All right.
That was good. The Lighthouse. We're all just one seagull away from a very bad day. There have been moments where I've been like, can I kill that fucking bird? Of course, they're my birds.
Yeah.
So.
The Lighthouse. Lighthouse, more like Fight House.
Shut the fuck up. This was the best taglines ever, I think.
Okay, one last one that doesn't quite fit, but I still liked it.
Lighthouse, more like Fight House.
The Lighthouse.
Sir, I'm afraid you've gone mad with power.
Of course I have. If you ever try going mad without power, it's boring. No one listens to you.
What's that from?
That's from the Simpsons movie.
Oh, okay. Boo.
Boo, you didn't like the Simpsons movie?
Oh!
I thought it was pretty good.
Spider Pig, you got out of your mind.
What?
I've lost so much respect. So much.
Oh, you're one of those guys. They're like,
Oh, one of those guys with taste? Yeah, I am one of those guys. So, let's move on to our pumpkin carving contest,
Mark? Yeah, so, let's do a...
So
here, let's make a song for the pumpkin carving contest. Come on, get in on this. Pumpkin carving contest.
Yeah.
Announcing the winners of our pumpkin carving contest.
Yeah. That's the extent to which I'm willing to.
You got to commit, David.
I don't.
You can't.
I got nothing.
All right. So if you didn't know, and some of you might not have known. We had a pumpkin carving contest, and we're giving away to the winner a set of Hocus Pocus Funko Pop dolls.
Yeah, all three of the ladies from Hocus Pocus recreated for your viewing pleasure as Funko Pop dolls, little bobblehead dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the first prize.
Yeah.
Second prize is we're gifting the track or the music of Focus.
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Yeah.
Which, if you've never heard it, I mean, just go to YouTube right now and look that up. It's delightful.
Yeah.
Third prize, you get nothing.
Yeah, you don't get anything.
So we've got, we've been talking about it for about a month. No, probably not quite a month.
Not quite a month.
A couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
Tweeted about it. We've gotten a tweet that was retweeted a lot.
Yeah, how did you do that? That's pretty good.
I don't know. It was just
caught on fire. Huh?
Just caught on fire. We've had actually more popular tweets than that one. It's impressive. how
shit can really take off pretty easily on Twitter.
Yeah, it was our first experiment with a contest, and I don't know what we're doing wrong. Or, like, what the best practices for
more,
really promoting.
I think more time, really.
Yeah.
I think we should have had at least one or two more weeks on there.
Yeah.
I mean, considering, you know, we've really only been talking about it for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Ten entries is pretty good.
Yeah. So we got 9 entries.
9 entries.
And we can look at them all now and kind of comment it. We can tell you what they are, and then we'll decide on air.
And of course, if you want to check out the entries, they will be available on our Facebook and Twitter.
And also, I'll put all the pictures on the post for this episode as well.
Can we put them on Instagram too?
Maybe.
I don't know. That'd be cool. Because our Instagram's pretty dead. And,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
So let's open this up.
Let's take a look at some of these pumpkins.
Okay, well, let's leave Biggin for the end.
My buddy Biggin.
We got an entry from Stephen R.
Okay, let's take a look at Steven's pumpkin here. Okay.
And this one's pretty good. This is, as far as a straight-ahead jack-o'-lantern, pretty menacing grin, spiky teeth, spooky eyes.
Yeah, the eyes do a thing on this one where it's like kind of double. I can't tell if it's the way the... It's not the way the picture's taken. It's intentional that it's like a super transposed thing. See how there's like two eye flutters at the tips of the...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's carved, and then he's got, like, kind of eyebrows carved into it,
yeah,
where he's thinned it out.
It's pretty cool looking.
So that is a really good entry. As far as, like, a straight-ahead jack-o'-lantern, I think that's, like, a front-runner.
Yeah.
For the jack-o'-lantern types. We've got Xavier D., which is a pretty awesome name.
Or Xavier, if you're French.
Sure. Or Xavier... If you're from the South.
We've sufficiently destroyed your name.
This one's another jack-o'-lantern. Also very spooky.
Yeah, I'd say on par with Stevens.
Yeah, on par with Stevens.
Like it's, but he chose to light it with an LED light. Did you just fart?
No.
What was that fart sound that you made?
It was probably just from my throat.
Yeah, I like Xavier's. It's a meat and potatoes jack-o'-lantern. Like,
yeah.
Pretty strong on the needle teeth.
And another one from Magnus.
Oh,
we've talked about Magnus before.
He's my
a
boy.
Delight.
See, now, Magnus kind of went above and beyond here with the background. Like,
yeah.
He chose to set
that's
this
true.
Among,
he's an artist.
Among the autumn leaves.
So, yeah, he's got another jack-o'-lantern. He's kind of got a stitched mouth, crazy kind of nightmare before Christmas,
yeah.
Eyes on it,
yeah. It's kind of Jack, Jack O'Lantern or whatever his
yeah.
name is from.
This is really good. I'm
all the
be,
way all the way from Sweden yeah. too.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm kind of glad that Magnus isn't the best one because
yeah,
I didn't
too.
Really want to mail it to Sweden.
Woo! That would have been a spicy meatball. You know what I would have done is I would have just transferred funds for him to buy his own Funko Pop over there. I'm like, nah,
that's true.
Sorry, we cannot send.
Magnus is great. He's a super fan. He just threw a Halloween party and printed out a bunch of horror movie top.
Yes, I'm
logos.
Glad. I'm glad you brought this up. If you guys want to see pictures of Magnus's, Halloween party that he threw all the way over across the pond in Sweden, he threw a Halloween party at like a bar or a club that's like it looks like it's underground, like in like you know. Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was attended by like 80 some odd people.
Yeah.
And it was a badass like themed zombie outbreak party.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was badass. So pictures for that are on our last post. So that would be Zombieland, fittingly, Zombieland Double Tap. So check
yeah.
out his party on Zombieland Double Tap.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. We haven't checked if we had a spike in Swedish listeners on
we have
on
a
our host.
It's not tremendous, but I mean I'm sure it's Magnus driven.
Yeah, thank you so much to listeners that recommend the podcast to friends. Especially like this is a great time to do it if you're a little like shy about your fanaticism about horror movies or
yeah.
you don't want to be that guy. You know, people are watching horror movies around now. This is going to be released on the 30th. So, I mean, you can share.
Yeah, there's a context
with your friend.
Yeah, there's context. Oh, now we're getting into one of the. Oh, we're not. Okay.
Let's skip over. Let's go into the, we'll save the top three and bottom one last.
Let's check out Caitlin A's.
Caitlin A. Caitlin A and Garrett send in, their jack-o'-lanterns. Again, this is like a very straight ahead. Jack-o'-lanterns, both of these.
Yes, but they both have a little bit of attention to detail in the 3D space. Like they,
yeah,
they think about the curvature of the pumpkin and kind of factor that into the whole thing, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and I like Caitlin's has like the mini pumpkin inside the maw of her jack-o'-lantern, which is a nice.
I couldn't see that. I that's pretty good.
I like whenever they involved like extra. Like little pumpkins or stuff coming out of the mouth.
So they're a married couple. Is that other one next to hers? Is that Garrett's?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So.
Oh, it's not a pumpkin. It's an orange.
It's a little orange with a sad face. Okay. So and then Garrett's is similar. Standard. What do you call it? Jack-o'-lantern style.
Yeah.
you know, it's menacing. It's I think I like Caitlin's more. Sorry, yeah. Garrett. If I'm assuming the one with the orange is Caitlin's.
Okay, so now we're getting into our top three. Okay. These are the actual contenders. Like, no offense to the ones that we've talked about. They are great. None of them are embarrassing that we've talked about.
I can't wait until we talk about Biggins Funkin', just FYI.
Like, David has assured me that Biggins is game to be... Yeah. Like, made light of, or like...
You'll never find a more amiable, kind, like, just jovial person than Brad.
Which I'm very glad, because we're just going to rip you apart with this pumpkin that you submitted, Brad.
But let's get into the top three.
So, the top three, okay, Tina D. submitted a great pumpkin, so it's got the word creepy on it, and it's dripping. It's very like our logo, almost. I think I know the font that she's using. I think that's a Google font. I might be wrong.
Okay, so Tina's is such an expert skill level on carving.
This is not like, there's some pumpkin carvings that are like, they do kind of the shading effect by carving progressively deeper into it. This is a straight ahead all the way through the pumpkin, but it's super skilled in that, because it's
the lining is the she's got the slightest little slivers of lines between the letters. Creepy. It's I cannot believe how finely detailed this thing is for a straight carving. And then it's got an eye above the word creepy with a little that plays with like the negative space. The pupil is like a little bad guy, and he's got a little hand, and that's part of the eyelashes.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the font on it is amazing. The drip effect is really cool. I mean, this is a definitely a front runner. Then we have Jared. It's got, let's say Jared B.
Okay.
Okay. This one, I mean,
yeah, this is,
to me, it's on another level.
This is pretty impressive.
So he's got this.
It's almost unfair.
Yeah. I mean, he's got like are those hexagons? I'm not big on geometry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six-sided, thingies.
What would that be?
I don't know.
It's not a.
Those are what bees make, right?
Sure.
Honeycomb.
What would be a... So hex is 5.
Okay, so sept... Or no.
No, sept is 7. Yeah. We're really... Again.
We talk about horror movies.
We're well-researched on this podcast. Anyways, it's got this geometric pattern, and then the center... It's like,
this is one of those pumpkins that uses the depth of the pumpkin to let the light shine through. There's a few spots where it's just accented and actually carved all the way through, but most of this pumpkin is just surface carving.
Yeah, in the center is an eye, super detailed eye, like very very much like the Black Christmas eye.
Yeah,
the crazy eye you see through a people. And I want to point out, this is fucking ridiculous. He carved it so this looks like it's shaded. Like, he took out that particular shape and it's hovering over it. Can you appreciate how ridiculously real that looks? Like,
I mean, we went to extensive, like, so to kind of help you guys understand how impressive this thing, first of all, you got to go check it out on the post or on our social media. But, we were pretty sure, like, that this was stolen from something.
Yeah.
But
this feels like
it is not.
If there was a contender for, you know, highly suspicious entry, it would be this one. Did a reverse image search. Didn't come up.
Did a lot of research.
Did research around the other info on it, the email that submitted it, and the only thing I can find is a Reddit user that submitted this to our art pretty much the same day that he submitted it to us.
Yeah. So first of all, beautiful pumpkin. Second of all, I mean, it's just the whole concept is concept to execution, whole thing, very impressive. Check it out. What is our what's our last entry? Besides Bratz.
So Jessica okay. got in right under the wire. Another patron that we love, early patron. I think she's one of the first.
Yeah, she's the starter of the 666 tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she submitted another great entry. This is another like 3D one where it's really like a sculpture.
It's a sculpture. Carving. Yeah. This is, I am so envious of artistic people and like being able to see something and within something normal, something cool within something normal, and then like flesh it out. Like this is, she turned a pumpkin into a goblin face.
Yeah.
And, it's got a nose and crazy, crazy like facial features, like wrinkles and its pupils and shit.
Yeah, it's great. And got 3D teeth and stuff. I mean, it's really impressive. So, I mean, the front runners are these last three. We got Jessica, we got Jared and Tina. Like, it's pretty close.
Bryce, I'm going to say, I think we're both thinking, okay, here's what I'm going to say. Can we do a split on second place? Because I can't. They're both impressive, and
they both deserve Hocus Pocus by Focus.
This is what I'm saying.
I mean,
this is what I'm saying.
Let's be honest.
I can't. They're impressive in their own right.
Maybe you can split Hocus Pocus by Focus between them. So half of the year, Jessica can have Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Don't be
and then
silly.
The other half of the year, Tina can have Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Don't be silly, Bryce.
We'll contact
That's
the radio.
Not how you do it.
We'll contact the recording licensor, and we'll just work out the logistics of splitting.
That's absurd.
Licenses.
That's silly. What you do is instead you just take the song, put it into an audio editor, and cut it in half. One gets the first part, and the other gets the second half.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Right.
So I'm going to say a two-way tie between
Jessica and Tina.
And that means first place goes to
Jared.
Jared B.
Just ridiculously good. Yeah. Like, wow. Jared, I mean, I'm still going to have to email this guy and be like, Can
we get some applause for all of our entries except for Brad's?
Let's get a round of applause from our studio audience.
Yeah, thank you, studio audience.
You know, you guys are really usually very, very kind and well behaved,
respectful.
That you know this is a controlled recording.
It's time to let it out.
This is the time to let it out. Let us hear your appreciation for Jared. Okay, all right. Thank you. That's good.
Indeed for all of our entries. Thank you, everyone who participated in this. We sure do appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Now, man, you give a mouse a cookie and they just go off with it.
Okay, all right.
God damn it. All right, please. Can we keep it down? We got the rest of the podcast.
Can we mute the house mics, please?
All right, we'll mute the house mics. All right. So
congratulations, Jared and Tina and Jessica.
I still hear them in the background.
I know. They're animals.
Bleeding through.
Well, that's what you get when you have a rabid fan base. Now let's talk about Brad's. I spent like 5 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck this was before I gave up and looked at the description.
Okay.
And so there's two pumpkins in this picture, and he points out, guys, mine is the shitty one. He doesn't say shitty. Mine is the one on the left. I was like, what is that, a pig cyclops?
So it's like, all right, so it's like a circle, and then it's got like globules.
My circle
in it,
is normal.
And then it looks like a snout. It looks like a pig snout. And so I'm like, is that like a Angry Birds pig or like a very particular type of Angry Birds pig? Because it's got this circle on the top that looks kind of like an eye, but it's
just
the negative space, but it's hanging down by a thing.
It's clear that he had high aspirations and zero skill to execute.
Uh-huh. And then the sides, there's like the circles too, but they could be arms.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It was...
It's unclear.
It so looks almost like a Tetris game or something like that.
Like a R-worded Tetris game. So here's what he said in the comments. And we'll have to do a side-by-side. We'll have to pull a picture of this just so you can see it, you know, one against the other. He said, mine is on the left, and then in parentheses, Mario mushroom.
Okay.
And Kate's, my wife, is on the right. Jack.
Now,
so he's got.
Now, Kate, yours is fine. Yeah. It is a normal pumpkin entry, but Brad's is uniquely retarded. and God help you, big guy. I love you to death. But this, man, you should give up on pumpkin carving. even if you have kids, they should
just don't be so ambitious. Like, just start practicing, you know, just do some triangle eyes and like just a smile.
We're going to, you know, my dad grows a tremendous amount of pumpkins every year.
Oh, yeah?
Like just off the charts. So Brad, you're perfectly welcome to, you know, come up here to Clark County, grab some pumpkins and just practice away because you need it, buddy.
So Brad was the very first entry in the pumpkin carving contest, and he was the only entry for like a week.
And then we were sitting here like, oh God, if it's only Brad pumpkin, this is just going to be a massacre. Brad wins the Hocus Pocus by Focus, or no, and the Hocus Pocus, girls.
So anyways, thank you so much for sharing and entering into the pumpkin carving contest.
I owe you beers, buddy, for raking you over the coals.
Putting you on blast
again,
for your pumpkin carving
over
skills.
And over.
He's a good guy. We've been assured that he's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he's not, God help you, because he's the biggest motherfucker you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. He could probably kick my ass, but he can't carve a pumpkin out of a wet paper bag.
Mm-mm-mm. Maybe that was the problem. He's like Andre the Giant level huge.
He was starting to carve and then punched a hole through it with his fist.
Yeah, you know, it's like he's holding it between his index finger and his thumb, and he's got this teeny tiny little knife that's basically like playing with a doll set, and he's just trying his hardest to be intricate, but he can't because he's so big. And his face is so far away from his hands. It's like, I can't see.
Sorry, Brad. Thanks for entering. Thanks, everyone. And
congratulations, Jessica, Tina, and our first place winner, Jared.
Jared, you'll be getting your...
Bravo, man. We really
appreciate
it.
Pop dolls in the mail.
Yeah. We really appreciate everybody's entry. So, with that...
That's the end of our episode. Please, again, check out our website at horrormovietalk.com. Please, 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 please share the podcast with a friend. It's the only way that we grow.
Yeah.
We don't advertise, and we've depended on listeners to steadily grow us, which the good news is it's worked so far, and we're kind of reaching an inflection point where we're seeing, like, yes, we're getting a better trajectory on increased downloads. Check out our calls to action on our website. We've got the Amazon Associates button. If you're planning on buying anything from Amazon the coming week, just click through the button and we'll get a little taste of whatever you spend. And then, of course, our Patreon that we've mentioned. Special thanks to all our pumpkin carving contest entries, and special thanks especially to Dustin, our post artist.
Our resident artist who provides us with beautiful artwork and who does commissions. If you have art desires, he can fucking get you some art.
Yeah. To be honest, we do not deserve Dustin.
No.
So please support him and use him on your projects and
at D Goebel, D G-O-E-B-E-L 00 on Instagram.
Yeah. And special thanks to all our patrons.
And yeah, do check out our latest blog by Keith on his top 10 favorite zombie types. It is as you've come to expect from Keith, it is a compendium. So check it out. It's on our website under the blog section.
And with that is another episode of Horror Movie Talk ended, and we love you.
What should we check out next week?
Oh, yeah. So the coming weeks, we are doing The Shining, and I think that we can get my wife on the pod for that one. She has expressed interest in watching The Shining because she's interested in seeing Dr. Sleep, which will be not next week, but the week after.
So check out The Shining. I don't know where that's available right now.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to drop $3 for it.
No, I think it might actually be available on Netflix.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's free somewhere because Dr. Sleep is coming out.
I think it is on Netflix, but I may be wrong.
So yeah, that'll be exciting to talk about because I actually read listened to the audiobook. My wife would take issue with me saying I read it, but I listened to the audiobook of both The Shining and Dr. Sleep the last couple months, and I'll be able to talk about, you know, maybe a little bit more informed than I normally do.
Great. You know? Yeah.
But not with good grammar. That's all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.